or shop online at justusedforklifts.com.au.
The younger brother of accused Bourke Street killer Demetrios Gargasoulis has made an unexpected appearance at a Melbourne court, charged with 8 new offences. 26-year-old Angelo Gargasoulis has been charged with possessing a controlled weapon, possessing the drug ice, assault with a knife, unlawful assault, trespass and trespass with intent to assault. He was also charged with damaging a mobile phone and a glass door worth $600. The new charges were laid after he was already jailed in March this year for a series of assaults on loved ones and robbing a taxi driver. At the time, he was sentenced to 2 months jail and given an 18-month community corrections order after pleading guilty to 13 offences from May 2015 to July last year. Police and emergency services are searching for four men who are missing off the North Queensland coast near the Aboriginal community of Woodjawoodjal. The men left the community in a dinghy around 11 a.m. Friday, heading towards the Hope Islands or Pickersgill Reef, but failed to return by late afternoon as expected. A rescue helicopter, fixed-wing aircraft and police vessel are involved in the search. Two Sydney siblings missing alongside their mother and another man have been found safe and well in regional Victoria. New South Wales police held serious concerns for Luke and Hayley Smith, aged 11 and 12, who were last seen at a home in Caringbah South on Thursday afternoon. The children were located with their mother Nicole Boyle and a man Neville Kerslake in Victoria yesterday. A man with a provisional licence will face court after being charged with high-range drink driving after allegedly returning a positive reading 9 times the limit at Coffs Harbour. Police say they stopped a car with its hazard lights on just before midnight last night, and the 23-year-old driver underwent a roadside breath test returning a positive result. He was arrested to face Coffs Harbour local court on August 7. Overseas, and former Trump Communications Director Michael Caputo is denying he had any contact or discussions with or about Russia during his tenure as the Communications Director of the Trump campaign. He appeared before the House Intelligence Committee in a closed-door setting as the number of people who participated in a June 2016 meeting with Donald Trump Jr. and son-in-law Jared Kushner kept increasing, including a suspected Russian intelligence agent. Michael Caputo left the Trump campaign in June 2016, right around the time the meeting in question happened.
I spent my time in front of the committee detailing the fact that I had no contact with Russians, that I never heard of anyone in the Trump campaign talking with Russians, that I never was asked questions about my time in Russia, that I never even spoke to anybody about Russia, I never heard the word Russia, and we did not use Russian dressing.
World-renowned Iranian mathematician Mariam Mizrahani has died of cancer, aged 40. More from the BBC's Khazra Naji.
A professor of mathematics at Stanford University in California, Mariam Mizrahani was the first woman to win the prestigious Fields Prize, the equivalent of Nobel Prize for Mathematics. She graduated from Iran's top technical institute, Sharif University, in 1999. But like many of Iran's best and brightest, left the country. 4 years later, she got her PhD from Harvard.
Also in news, Queensland's Liberal National Party State Convention will consider formally calling on the federal government to back out of the Paris Climate Accord. This is AIR News. After the Wimbledon women's final overnight, there is a new first-time champion. With more, here's Air Sports' Paul Walsh.
Katerina Muguruza has been crowned the Queen of Wimbledon after she defeated Venus Williams in straight sets 7-5, 6-love in 1 hour and 17 minutes. Both ladies had vital breakpoint opportunities, with Williams unable to convert any of her three in the first set.
I definitely would have loved to have converted some of those points, but she, you know, competed really well, so credit to her, she just dug in there and managed to play better.
After breaking through to take the first set, Muguruza then needed only 26 minutes to complete the task to take the second and the title.
Since I lost the final here, you know, I wanted to change that. And I came thinking, I'm prepared, I feel good. And during the tournament and the matches, I was feeling better and better. And every match, I was increasing my level. And I think today, you know, I played well.
Muguruza becomes the second Spaniard to win the title after Conchita Martinez did so in 1994. This is Paul Walsh at Wimbledon for Air Sport.
Also in sport, Adelaide have reclaimed top spot on the AFL ladder with a bruising 46-point win over Melbourne in Darwin. Western Force bid farewell to retiring flanker Matt Hodgson in grand style, thumping the New South Wales Waratahs 40-11 in Super Rugby. And Gold Coast halfback Ash Taylor has orchestrated a 30-10 victory over defending NRL premiers Cronulla, mastering atrociously wet conditions on the Gold Coast. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sydney's weather today, this is a very interesting one, Jim. Mostly sunny, light winds. That's about it. Sydney heading for a lovely winter's day of a top temperature of 17 degrees. What a beautiful day. What about at Hawkesbury and out west at Harden?
Sounds like the Bureau of Meteorology had their Christmas in July last night,
very
didn't it?
Short and sweet today.
Exactly. Mostly sunny, light winds. Right now at Hawkesbury, it is 7 degrees with an expected maximum of 16 degrees today. Harden, Murrumburra, the twin towns out there in the Riverina. Morning frost, partly cloudy, and a maximum of 13 degrees at Harden.
No matter what your age, most of us played sport when we were young. And there was always one thing that made you want to disappear into the corner or even give up your chosen sport. And that was when somebody on the sideline hurled abuse at either you or a teammate or an official. These are things that make sports so painful for so many kids, and the time has come to stop it. I'm Wasmin Khawaja from the Australian cricket team. My message is a simple one. Let kids be kids. Let them enjoy their sport. Find out more at playbytherules.net.au.
Sky Sports Radio can be taken anywhere, anytime. Crystal clear. Sky Sports Radio is available through the Tab app plus the Radio Industries Radio app. Whether you're at home, work, the races or travelling, make sure Sky Sports Radio is a part of your racing day.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Ricebury.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
The Brothers War, dual stakes winning son of superstar sire Warfront, from Group 1 winning Sadler's Wells mare, Moon Queen. His oldest progeny are outstanding weanlings. All-inclusive breeding package for the Brothers War, including stud fee, adjustment, vet and GST, available for $11,000. Contact Angus at Coringle on 0429 842 875.
Milos Nikovic, Rolando Varela, can hit them from long range, will try one, what a goal, what a superb goal by Josh Rolando, it's just his second in the Hyundai A-League, and it is a peach.
It's one corner remaining for Chas Mostyn, 250 hard fought kilometres, and super cheap auto racing is well victorious, done. Well, well done Chas Mostyn.
What a way to finish off. Here he goes, he winds up, Buddy. Eight or not? Yes! Eight is great for Buddy Franklin. The siren sounds and the Swans' first win. They've had to wait 7 weeks longer than they thought.
On Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres. At Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome to the program. Hope you're having a really great, bright, fantastic start to your Sunday morning. I know we are here. Guess what, Ray?
Mm-hmm.
Massive show planned here for the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend up until 10 o'clock. It's a who's who coming on the program today. Mike Tomalaris will get him live from France for an update in the Tour de France. Adrian Bott will be on the program after a really good performance from Siege of Quebec. What a wrap on this fast neck rock colt. Alicia Bennett, she didn't know where to go to get her horse after the win from Buddy Honest, but she knows that she'll be taking a call from us this morning, which is exciting too. First city winner for us. So congratulations to Alicia, and we'll look forward to that chat as well. Zorba will be along to give us his thoughts on State of Origin 3. Oh, well, we might just keep it nice and quiet and just walk past that
again on Wednesday night.
No, Zorb will charge into that and give us his thoughts on the National Rugby League, because we're back into the season proper and the distraction of the Origin is gone, and now he can concentrate on the run home. It's going to be an enthralling run home to the semi-finals as well. Jess Taylor will be along. She had a fantastic breakthrough win yesterday too in Sydney, so we're going to have a chat with the jockey, Jess Taylor. Phil Moss will give us all the latest from Arsenal's tour of Australia. How do you define it other than a roaring success?
Unbelievable crowds, both games.
80,000, 83,000. Front page of yesterday's Daily Telegraph. Mm. They, you know, obviously that Arsenal spent a lot of money doing that. And the ongoing impact that that will have for Arsenal in the future means that they can continue to come out here and get revenues from Sydney and Australian supporters. And the influx of visitors that we had in this country was significant. So tick, tick, tick all around for that one. Dean Bulldog Ritchie will give us all the latest, the fallout. I'll tell you what, it was we for 6 weeks with Dean Ritchie. I get the feeling this morning it's going to be they. but we'll see how that, yeah, exactly. See how that, there was someone who tweeted during the week, I think it was panel operator Hamish, said, who should New South Wales get rid of first? Is A, Dean Ritchie, B, Laurie Daly, or C, Dean Ritchie and Laurie Daly? So, and we'll take your thoughts on that as well. And Stuart Clark, got to mention there too, yeah. Dean Ritchie or Stuart Clark? Gee, that's a good one, isn't it? Gee. You'd expect if we put that poll up, it'd be running 50-50, wouldn't it?
It's
the chief operating officer.
Very tough school.
And the self-appointed media manager. score update in the Z&Z quiz, Ray.
Is it 15-12, Jim?
Is it 15-12, Jim? He's got that written down in the car. It is, as a matter of fact, Ray.
Nine in a row?
It's funny you mention that. Nine straight. You know, three on the trot's an anomaly.
What happens?
Nine straight shows that the fix is in.
What happens when we have a little mid-year sabbatical, which we're doing next week?
Yes.
Does the quiz continue in our absence?
Depends how I go.
Okay.
No, in your absence, in our absence.
Well,
so we're both away next week.
You're missing first time in 7 years.
First time in seven years.
We've both gone away at the same time.
Yeah. Just confirming, we're not going away together. Just want to clear that up.
We're going opposite sides of the world.
We're staying as far away from each other as we possibly can.
So next week, Stuart Clark's in your chair.
Stuart Clark and Jared Middleton will be in. And after that, I'm back with Dave Stanley for a couple of weeks.
Yes.
While you're
so what
reversing
happens to the quiz
your way around the globe.
In that interim period.
Oh, it's an excellent question. All I think is, without the scrutiny of me,
well,
in my absence, I'm just going to predict
Jeremy's
you
here.
Win. You win. Oh, hang on, say that again.
Producer Jeremy's here to hold the fort.
Oh, filling me with enormous confidence that everything will be above board. But it's not above board when I sit right here.
He's the boss. You shouldn't be talking disparagingly of the boss.
Allegedly. legend of the game. We're looking forward to this one too. This was a guy who could win a State of Origin series.
Oh, heartbreaking.
Won a premiership for the Newcastle Knights as well. Danny Badiris.
And doing great things on Fox now too.
Yeah, really good man. Really good man. So he's going to come along and we're going to have a chat about the 2001 Grand Final. The first night Grand Final for the National Rugby League. So we can talk to Danny about that. 23 years of age he was when he... That's a boyhood dream, isn't it?
2001 seems like a couple of years ago, doesn't it?
It does. Tanya will give us a sports update as well. We'll speak to Leo Schlink about an overnight result. And congratulations to Garbo Muguruza, has won her second Grand Slam title, defeating Venus Williams convincingly in a final, 7-5, 6-love. So the 37-year-old Venus Williams couldn't get it done. We'll ask Leo, can the 35-year-old Roger Federer get it done at that Wimbledon final? Trent Lanscar from tab.com.au. Plus, of course, we're taking your calls on 1353 53. We've also got the SMS up and running too. People already sending in their thoughts about Origin. You can do that. 0419 767 272. That's 0419 SMSBSB. And, of course, you can get us on the tweets as well at Big Sports WEND. At Big Sports WEND. You've heard from him already, ladies and gents. He's champing at the bit to go after a big week in sport. Good morning, Ray Thomas.
Yeah, good morning, Jimmy. Good morning, everyone. I thought during the week, Jimmy, should we have an Origin-free zone? But we can't, can we? Because it's still uppermost in everyone's thoughts. SMSs are pouring in. Love this one from Paul from Huskisson already. Boys, did you watch Groundhog Day last Wednesday night? It's the story of a coach stuck with the same dumb team, getting beaten up by this champion team every year, always has a sad ending. For New South Wales supporters, it seems that way, but a couple of things emerged from it. Once again, Cameron Smith is just a phenomenon. He came out in the week, the days leading up to Origin 3, and said he's going to run more and more from dummy half. He hadn't done enough in the first two games. Mm. He gave her the playbook.
Yeah.
Babe Ruth,
he called his shot.
New South Wales couldn't combat. He was unbelievable.
He was brilliant, wasn't he?
And then his speech afterwards to include Jonathan Thurston, I thought it was a magic moment. And
it had that Luke Beveridge, Bob Murphy touch from the AFL Grand Final last year, didn't it?
We come to think that from Cameron Smith, don't we? He's just a great statesman. There's already people saying that in years to come, he could be a senior figure in administration. He's so well respected in the game. They're a phenomenal team. A month ago, Jimmy, we were talking about the start of a new era for New South Wales. It's turned right around. Now we're talking about this new era for Queensland. Cameron Munster, how good was he on last Wednesday night?
Exceptional debut.
Unbelievable.
Wasn't it? And then what about the thing is this? From a Queensland point of view, he got a text message from Wally Lewis on just before he got on the team bus to go to the ground and say, "Mate, congratulations on getting selected. I know you can do it. Good luck. Go out there and get him."
How much weight does that carry
for
the King?
Of course, enormous weight. But, you know, that was an unbelievable debut. Slater played superbly. Cronk was outstanding.
Mm.
No one played badly for Queensland. There were some guys for New South Wales who were very disappointing. Back to the drawing board for Laurie Daly. Here's the question, Ray, and we can throw it out there. 13-53-53. I get the feeling from the New South Wales hierarchy, I'm talking about George Paponis, I'm talking about David Trodden, that if Laurie Daly applied for the position again, remember it's up as of now, he would get it.
Have you heard anything in your
I just get that feeling. We don't know what Laurie's doing. I will say this, though. I want to know what Laurie's doing. Put it to bed quickly. Okay. Are you in or out, Laurie?
Okay, can I throw another question to you? I know you're, and I don't want to single out one person because it's unfair. I know you're a tremendous Mitchell Pearce fan. Mm. He's had a number of chances at Origin level.
Mm. 18.
Yep, hasn't produced the goods in terms of a series win. Do we now blood these young kids? I've heard the story about people saying don't bring in Nathan Cleary too early. He's too young. Queensland do it. They brought a very young Jonathan Thurston into that squad and made it work. If anyone
but he wasn't 19.
He was 21, wasn't he?
No, he's a bit older than that.
Okay. Yeah. Anyway, Nathan Cleary will be 20 next year. The performance he gave in New Zealand against the Warriors on Friday night was absolutely...
The timing was incredible 2 days after Origin, wasn't it?
But he's been doing. Yeah. You've been saying it for almost 12 months. Penrith should lock him in for 10 years. Just lock him in as a player. Why not put him in there, Jimmy?
Oh, look.
Even on the bench, blood him. Get Matt Maughan into that football team. Ball in hand, he's a dangerous player. Start building around the younger players who can be there for a number of years, who could potentially grow in their positions. Cameron Munster's had one game now. We're talking about him as a long-term Origin player.
Yeah, but he's about 23, 24.
Valentine Holmes had two games. He should have been a long time ago. Give these kids a chance.
What I would say is this. What I would love to ask Laurie Daly is this. Did he pick the side? If he had the chance to go back to game one, would he pick a different team? I think he picked people that he, in deep down, didn't want to pick.
And you know what? He came so close because for a game and a half and a game and, well into the second half, New South Wales, of a game two, New South Wales had the series in the bag.
We spoke to Cooper Cronk on Friday on the Big Sports Breakfast and he said the moments, we just know they're going to be big moments in games and you just have to be ready for it. So if you talk about a big moment in game, Hayne not passing to Morris.
Yes.
And Wade Graham rushing up out of the line and trying to put a shot, putting a shot on Josh McGuire and created the opening there. They're massive moments. Mm-hmm. And in the end, New South Wales lose the series on the back of it.
It's unbelievable.
So we'll take your thoughts on that. Look, already the SMS are coming in. Mm. But this is our talk topic for today, and it comes from Fergs from the Riff. "Hey, boys, Arsenal games got me thinking. Talk topic subject. Best international sports person or horse for Ray to step foot on Aussie soil."
Great idea, Fergs.
Much better than our original idea.
Yeah. Did you want to air that?
No, not yet.
Okay. Do you want to send Fergs a CD pack? That's really good.
That's a good idea. Yeah. If you give us a talk topic for the day, then we've got to send you a CD pack, courtesy of Sony Music. So away you go, Raymond.
Okay. Do I have to have competed? Because I was going to say Muhammad Ali.
Of course you were. Of course you were going to say Muhammad Ali.
Remember the Bert Newton name?
I like the boy. Yeah.
If they have to compete, and I know you're going to think I'm going to say Roger Federer, and probably should, but you're going to bag me if I do. I'll say Usain Bolt.
Usain Bolt in the Nitro.
Yeah.
Good one.
Didn't you think of that?
No, I didn't. Okay. I didn't. You know what I came up with?
Yeah.
George Best,
George Best. He played a few games, didn't he?
George Best played four games with the Brisbane Lions back in 1983.
Wow.
So there you go. 1983, he played four games. And then he had Osborne Park that he played with as well.
You're a massive George Best fan, aren't
you? I love George Best.
There's a piece on YouTube.
The fifth Beatle.
Have you? He's two, yeah.
Yeah.
There was a George Best, wasn't it? Was it Peter Best?
No, Pete Best was the drummer,
yeah.
But he used to be the fifth Beatle. That's how they described him in Manchester. But there was the great story about the fellow who walked in on George Best. George had been at a casino somewhere in Monte Carlo or something. He literally had Miss Universe in bed with him. And he was ordered another bottle of champagne. And the bloke came up delivering the champagne. And George had dollar bills, or, you know, pound notes or whatever they were, all over the room and all that sort of thing. But this guy was a Manchester United fan, and he realised that he hadn't got the best football out of George Best. So there he was, drinking expensive French champagne with money everywhere, with Miss Universe in his bed. And he said to George, where did it all go wrong?
And George is thinking, hang on, is it going wrong? Have you seen the YouTube piece of George Best highlight reel of his career?
Yeah, is that when he takes his shoe off?
No, just the goals he scored and his dribbling and his ball control. Yeah. It is unbelievable. He is an absolute maestro. And he did it half the time, probably half drunk.
The sign at his funeral was, Pele good, Maradona better, George Best.
Says it all.
Great sign, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So George Best is mine. And the other one is another footballer that I'll leave there. Another footballer, as in soccer player, that I'll leave there.
You leave us hanging.
Yeah, I'll leave you hanging on that one. Now, we better get to a break, Raymond. 1353 53 is the open line number. Give us a call now. After the break, we're going to have a chat with Mike Tomalaris.
Ride the night with Trackside. For the first time ever, you can now experience the thrill of Trackside thoroughbred, grays, and harness races under lights. Switching across to night racing from 7 p.m., you'll see Trackside as you've never seen it before. So, light up your night and play Trackside at your local tap venue. Gamble responsibly.
Guys, whether it's directly or indirectly, all of us have been impacted by cancer. Here's an easy way you can make a difference.
Cancer Council has launched the Australian Breakthrough Cancer Study. They're aiming to create one of the largest research groups ever with 50,000 Australians.
But we need more blokes. So if you're aged between 40 and 74, sign up at abcstudy.com.au. It can be done from home and in your own time.
It's all about investigating the causes of cancer and other diseases. The Australian Breakthrough Cancer Study. Get on board today at abcstudy.com.au.
All covers, all grounds, all beaky. Franco won the Champions Stakes and lived up to the fight.
International racing at its very best. 7 days a week across the Sky Racing Network.
Great staff are always the most important element of business. Nova Employment is a free disability employment service that takes the time to find you the right candidate.
Hi, I'm Susie from Delicious Dairies. We're proud to give back to the community by not only supporting our farmers, but by hiring people from Nova Employment who wouldn't necessarily get a chance. They are valued members of our business.
So if your business could benefit from great staff with ability, join the over 15,000 Sydney businesses who have made the switch. Visit novaemployment.com.au.
On the Big Sports Breakfast, this Tour de France update is brought to you by Amart Sports. Amart Sports, home of the biggest sports brands at the best price.
The turns continue for this year's Tour de France. Our man over there. Look, last week it was very exciting for us, Ray, because he was getting over the border from Switzerland into France.
It was radio gold, wasn't it?
It was Steve McQueen, the Great Escape, all of that sort of thing. This time, I think it's just pretty mundane up in the Pyrenees. G'day, Mike Tomalaris from SBS.
Hello, Jimmy. Hello, Ray. Look, I'm on the Pyrenees. We've just come off the Pyrenees from a couple of days ago. I'm in the middle of the country, the heart of the country. There are five mountain ranges to speak of here in France, and we're heading towards an area in the middle of the country called the Massif Central. Mm-hmm. And that's where this race takes us for stage 15 we're up to later on today.
Good morning, Mike, and thanks for joining us. Well, good evening over there in France. And Chris Froome has regained the yellow jersey overnight. But again, the margins are so small this year. This is not a fait accompli, is it, Mike?
Ray, before I go into Chris Froome, it's been a very exciting day for Australia, mm-hmm. because Michael Matthews, the boy from Canberra, has won a stage. We've got ourselves a stage winner, and it was
wow.
It was very, very exciting for viewers of SBS, the Tour de France. I mean, after last week's mishap and misfortune from Richie Porte, well, we were hinging our fortunes on Michael Matthews. And he rides for a German team, Team Sunweb, and delivered the goods today on a course that really suited him and on a course that he earmarked when this Tour de France course was laid out and released in October of last year. It was a stage that, like I say, suited him down to the ground, a punchy stage, a stage that rose to 500 metres at the finish line, and he just blew all of his seasoned rivals away. When you see the highlights later on, you'll be most impressed, because Matthews is a gun rider and blew away riders, seasoned riders like Greg Van Avermaet from Belgium and his Norwegian rival in Edvald Bossenhagen. So a great day for Australian cycling at the Tour de France.
What does this mean now for Michael? 26 years of age, Mike, and you know, you'd think in the next couple of years coming into his prime as a rider, is he looking at going to a more competitive team or changing his position within his current team to become a more favoured rider?
Jimmy, he's signed with Sunweb for a couple of years. He's moved across from the Australian team of last year, Orica Scott. Last year, stage 10, he collected stage honours for the Aussie team. He wasn't happy there. He's going to renew his contract. Really good place right now. And to win stages in consecutive years tells me that he's improving. He's very comfortable with this German team. It's a team that's got a lot of Aussie connections as well.
Okay.
So, look, he's in a good place. And I think he'll improve. You'll hear a lot more from Michael Matthews. And bear in mind also, apart from winning stages at the Tour de France, he's also worn the leader's jersey at some of the other big races, like the Giro, the Tour of Italy. So he's progressing nicely as a household name over here in Europe.
Mike, just over a week to go in the Tour de France. And as I mentioned earlier, the margin for error is so small this year. Christopher Froome has regained that yellow jersey, but has only that 19-second lead over Fabio Aru, who took it off him at the previous stage. So how do you sort of sum up the Tour de France so far, week out?
Right, it's a topsy-turvy tour. Now, the first 9 days of this race, I've got to say, it was quite monotonous, because Team Sky and Chris Froome were basically just suffocating this race, not allowing any other riders to make an impact. They were controlling the tour. But when Fabio Aru picked up the yellow jersey a couple of days ago, everything just changed. And when you look at the overall standings, less than 30 seconds separates the four top riders. And we're looking at Chris Froome, Fabio Aru, the Frenchman, Romain Bardet, and in fourth place, there's a Colombian in Rigoberto Urán. It's anybody's race. And even though Chris Froome is back in the yellow jersey, it's not a fait accompli. Like I say, 30 seconds separates the top four, and wow, we've got ourselves a great race with seven stages still to come.
I know I spoke to you on Friday, but Ray and I haven't spoken to you, obviously, since last Sunday. Have you been able to come to terms yet with the fact that Richie Porte crashed so dramatically out of the race and really ended a chance that might have been such a good one for him?
Yeah, look, we have come to terms with the fact that Richie's gone. It's a shame, and Richie, I believe, would have been up there with those top four names that I've just mentioned. And who knows? I honestly believe he was in such a state of mind that he would be following in the footsteps of Cadel Evans from 6 years ago. It's not going to happen. We're moving on, and so is Richie. And what I like about Richie is that he's already thinking, Jimmy, about 2018. His mindset is already to come back next year and challenge this thing called the Tour de France. It's the last frontier for many Australians, for many people from other parts of Europe. And he wants to dominate and complete an ambition, a lifelong ambition, before his career finishes. He'll be 33 next year. It's the perfect age. He's with a good team, a team that believes in him. And, you know, well, let's just have to wait 12 months. It's a damn shame that he's out of this race, because I'm sure he would have caused some damage.
All right, tell us about the next stage. Yep. It is 189.5 kilometres, and just to get my French going well here, Lassac Sévérac l'Anglais to Le Pugnet à Velay.
Well done, Jim.
Yeah, look, Jimmy, you know Gabriel Gartier, but that's yeah, listen, we're going back into this high country again. It's not the Pyrenees, it's not the Alps, it's the massive Central, which is pretty high, probably similar to what we have in Australia in terms of the Snowy Mountains or the Victorian Alps. So, you know what, after speaking with Michael Matthews today, it's probably another stage that suits him. And one of our reporters, Dave McKenzie, asked Michael Matthews, what now? And he said, well, I'm going to go for it again tomorrow, stage 15. Right. Mm.
Fantastic.
Hey,
so he's brimming with confidence.
Mike, fantastic to have you on board. We do appreciate it. Great update. We look forward to watching that on SBS and following your coverage on this program next week and, of course, with the boys during the week on the Big Sports Breakfast. Thanks again.
Pleasure, Jimmy. Pleasure, Ray.
There he is, Mike Tomalaris from SBS. You can catch all the action on SBS live via streaming and, of course, the highlights package on SBS.
So Maloney calls it on the left.
Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Just before we get to a couple of callers, some SMS coming in along on the talk topic and, of course, the origin. And you like this one from Paul at Huskisson. Jimmy, how would Mitch Pearce handle playing hooker with Cleary and Bird at half and 5'8"? Your thoughts, please. Yeah, don't mind it. I tell you what, the guy I'm warming to is Appy Coruscant.
For hooker.
Mm. And the problem with Nathan Peets is there's not many problems with him. You know, he's such wholehearted
player,
very willing defensively, but just offered nothing out of dummy half. Mm. And it was when you contrast it to what Cameron Smith did in the first 40 minutes especially, it's like, oh, what an advantage.
Peets would give some creativity around the ruck, though, and he is a good defender. That's not a bad idea from
and
Paul.
And he never stops. They were talking about that tracker thing that Nine did, and I thought it was really good insight into just how much effort these guys are going into. Mitchell Pearce tried his heart out.
Correct, yeah. And Bird came on, he had an impact. So
I agree with that. Yeah, absolutely. Handyman from Frenchs Forest said, international in Australia, Malcolm Reilly.
Great Malcolm Reilly.
Malcolm Reilly. Yeah. There you go. Let's go to the
callers.
Say the
toughest ever to play the game.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Anthony's here. G'day, Anthony.
Good morning. I'm not too sure if Pelé played here, but Maradona certainly played at World Cup qualifier here.
That was the one I was looking for, 1993, up against El Colorado. Our
full of juice.
Yeah. Well, Anthony, jeez, talk about
it. Well, he was.
Put a pin in the balloon.
Listen, before I just talk about what I was going to say about the state of origin, Jimmy, can I just ask Ray, I was watching Racing HQ yesterday morning. How do you look so good so early in the morning, honestly?
I don't know about that. Very tired, early start yesterday,
dear,
Anthony.
Dear.
Do you have like a beauty regimen, Ray, that you follow?
How do you do that? Listen, Ray...
Jimmy's a hard man, Anthony. He's a hard man.
In your recent replay today, have you got Frankie Dettori's Irish Oaks win overnight?
We haven't, but we do have the July Cup. And
Anthony, don't encourage him.
The shock loss of Caravaggio. Does that put a question mark on the Everest?
So. It was a bit flat. Mm. And listen, on the state of origin, I've got a theory that it isn't necessarily the we haven't matched the immortals, the three or four immortals. I argue that we haven't matched the non-planned immortals. Could you imagine, Jimmy, you ask you the question, if Joey Johns was doing an Alfie Langer was out there doing an Alfie Langer for the second half of the second game, would we have won that game? Directing traffic behind the race?
Well,
and keeping a cool head?
Forget the cool heads. Go with the intent. Keep going. Yep. Keep driving at them. Keep going for it.
And how many games have we lost from the jaws of victory over the last 20 years because we haven't had an Alfie Langer-style guy at the back of the ruck just directing traffic?
Good
and
well, hang on.
The Smiths and the Cronks and the Slaters and the Thursons, they make it happen.
To say that takes away from the
Smiths and
the
Cronks and the
Slaters
and the Thursons.
That's right, you know.
But it's true too, though, isn't it?
It's true. This is where it's really
interesting. I spoke to Matt Ballon during the week doing the Bill and Boz program on Fox Sports News, and Matt had played one Origin game. And I said, did Billy play your game? And he said, yeah. And I said, and what was he like? He said, I was amazed at how much talking he did off the ball. Mm. And he was just telling Cooper Cronk and telling Matt from Dummy Half, saying, right, left wing is back, left wing is back, or full back in right corner, full back in, just letting them know where that, so where they have
that's
to
right.
kick. It's just incredible how much talking that he did.
And how much talking
Yeah, all right, thanks for your call, Anthony. We've got to go. Let's go to our next caller. It is Bob is on the line. G'day, Bob.
Morning, fellas.
Morning, Bob.
I'd like to first off thank you for the CDs that you guys sent me last week. They were fantastic. I want to rule myself ineligible for my fabulous call.
Okay, long as I got there, Bob, that's the main
thing. I'm glad you've ruled yourself. Who were you, Jamie Lyon or something, Bob?
No, mate, I'd just like to be honest. I haven't worked out where to stick them in my car yet because it seems that new cars don't have CD players.
Very good point.
But, mate, I'm not a great fan of Mitchell Pearce, but he was not to blame on Wednesday night.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Correct.
He worked his guts out.
Yep.
Who are to blame are the selectors who continually select forwards who are not tough. They may be thugs, but they're not tough. Mm. We need forwards that will run at another forward of the same size and take him on. And hurt him in a legitimate way, not fall on a little bloke who's on the ground. Come on. We need blokes who will break the line, who will get through the line and pass the ball to the backs.
I think our best forward in terms of impact, Bob, was Clemmer.
Easily.
By far. And I'm not a fan of him either.
Yeah.
But he did exactly what should have happened.
Exactly.
He poked his nose through the line.
Yep.
We need to get forwards of the likes of Merrin. Who rarely gives away a penalty, but he carries players with him. He's got his arm out to pass.
And offloads.
He runs at big blokes.
I tell you what, Bob, it's an interesting point that you make. If you want to talk about New South Wales forwards with reputations enhanced coming out of this Origin series, one.
Clemmer.
David Clemmer.
And probably Josh Jackson. Effort's always there.
Maybe Josh Jackson, but that's a really good point. Mm. Good call, Bob. You've already got CD, so you're not getting any more from Sony Music. There you go. 1353 53, open line number.
Sunday mornings, get the best harness and greyhound racing wraps on Chasing and Pacing Rewind. From 10:30, we bring you the lowdown on all the Menangle and Wentworth Park action. Chasing and Pacing Rewind. Sunday mornings, 10:30, Sky Sports Radio.
The world's greatest fortnight of tennis is now on, and you won't want to miss a game, set, or match this Wimbledon with our great odds and offers. Tab, we love a bet. Gamble responsibly.
Mum, do you hear that beeping sound?
You left the fridge door open again.
Close. It's the sound of Bingley trucks loading new Westinghouse, Hitachi and Beko fridges ready for free delivery.
And free unpacking. We'll take away the packaging too.
And we'll take away your old fridge free.
It's a great deal.
Buy any new Hitachi, Beko or Westinghouse fridge from Bingley and get free full service delivery.
You know when that beeping will stop, Lionel?
Yes, very soon, so be quick. See in store or bingley.com.au for details.
It's somewhat from Happy Clapper. It's somewhat a length clear from Happy Clapper. It's somewhat hanging on. He wins the Doncaster, a half length to Happy Clapper.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Good morning, everyone. Oh, welcome back, everyone, I should say. And Jimmy racing at Rose
Hill. The MCG for the first time today.
I was reading some SMSs there. Racing at Rose Hill yesterday. And the first race was billed as a clash between Siege of Quebec and Calculate. It turned out that way. Terrific contest. Siege of Quebec wins.
Around the turn, Siege of Quebec in front. Colesberg just giving a bit of ground, giving a tempting run to Calculate. It has got room to go through. Bowman sits quietly, takes the gap now on Calculate. Goes after Siege of Quebec and quickly heads it off. Then Tennessee Tango and Condor down the outside. It's Calculate. Coming back on the infire side is Siege of Quebec. Siege of Quebec is going to outplug Calculate. And Siege of Quebec won it by a half length to Calculate. Condor falling away third, then Stone running on for the back to Tennessee.
So it looks like the Golden Rose on September 23 is going to be the target for this $1.2 million colt.
Probably for both, really.
For both. Had Chris Waller at a function, the De La Salle Junior Rugby League function on Friday, and Joel Kane was talking about the big matchup between Calculate and Siege of Quebec, and he was said, and the winner is Calculate, and Chris Waller said, can't quite get there. So he knew.
Wow.
Yeah, he knew. That Siege of Quebec, and that's exactly the way it played out.
Yeah,
down that straight, wasn't it?
it's very interesting because they're both promising horses. I thought Calculate might be an edge past Siege of Quebec at about the 250. He sprinted very quickly, but Siege of Quebec, he can fight. And
I think headed in the straight.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Yeah, and he fought back to win, and they're both really promising colts. Very lightly raced, still in, got a lot to learn and improve, and the Golden Rose potentially for them. Buddy Honest, last week in the Tab Highway at Warwick Farm, went out at a million miles an hour for 1,200 metres. Mm. Probably went too hard early, hung on to run fourth. Yesterday, back to 1,100, showed that same speed. They couldn't catch him.
Around the turn, and Buddy Honest in front by a length on Cosmic Rain. Then Star Aspiration looking for room. Buddy Honest at the 250's got a good kick from Cosmic Rain. And then came Star Aspiration. Surprise Party's making ground on the fence, but Buddy Honest slips away now inside the 150 from Star Aspiration, Cosmic Rain. Alfin Varu has late headway, but Buddy Honest is going to lead all the way with the backup from last Saturday. It's Buddy Honest, too good for Star Aspiration. Alfin Varu nailed third just in front of Cosmic.
Yeah, there you go for Alicia Bennett, and we're going to have a chat with her. Rachel Murray's strong run continues. Wonder what podcast she was listening to during the week after we spoke to her last week.
Yeah.
Now, what's this about Canberra trainers being excluded from country races?
Yeah, no decision yet, but some debate about it, because
what's Matty Dale going to do for Tab Highway, wouldn't
it? Oh, it will affect a lot of Canberra trainers, obviously. And because the Canberra horses run in the provincial championship. So it's a slight anomaly there.
Right.
So Racing New South Wales are looking at it.
But they had Matt Dale renewed his country.
They're all country licensed trainers.
That's
so
right.
It's a very interesting one. But anyway, that'll unfold next week or so. Down to race six, one of the great training feats of the season, I thought. Washington Heights, back from Hong Kong. Gerald Ryan first up over a sprint trip. He was outstanding.
Washington Heights is back second last, and Sabaro sees them all racing to the turn. It's Prince Famous, the insider. Top Striker has been doing plenty of work in the run. Top Striker and serves it up to Prince Famous. Sir Plush being pushed on now. Ins and Outs running on well on the outside, and Washington Heights is starting to slice through the field. Ins and Out goes after Sir Plush, not much in it. Washington Heights angles off heels and coming with a good run on the outside. Sir Plush is kicking. Washington Heights though goes to it. Washington Heights gets up. Big win first up. Welcome back to Australia. Washington Heights beats Sir Plush. Ins and Outs run the third. Yesterday,
so Washington Heights, $7 for Gerald Ryan, Kieran McAvoy on board. Incredible to think that Huey Bowman doesn't ride a winner. Brendan Abdullah still suspended. So
still a half win in front
Of the Sydney Premiership. So I see Adam Hieronymus was tweeting about his climb up the ladder.
He had his treble yesterday. He rode really well. Almost
he went
got
past
four.
James McDonald.
And he's chasing down James Doyle. I love it. Yeah. He almost got four because R. Beatson was just beaten as well. He rode particularly well. Adam had him on Racing HQ yesterday, and he said it was one of his better books for a Saturday ride.
Yeah, right, good.
He delivered. Great to see Jess Taylor deliver too on Slightly Sweet. Jason Call's stable's been on fire for months. He had a double yesterday with Insensata and Slightly Sweet in the Winter Stakes. This is the first stakes win for Jess Taylor.
Into the straight, Ninth Legion just leads from Oxford Poet, Burning Passion. Extensible's looking for a splitter. Then came Shiraz, who looks to be going okay. Oxford Poet and Burning Passion. Shiraz is getting the run through. Burning Passion hits the lead. El Luz going up the inside. Man of his word, Slightly Sweet, flashing home. Slightly Sweet goes up to El Luz. Slightly Sweet. Slightly Sweet's won the Civic in a great finish. Slightly Sweet's won it. For the miners, I'm not sure here. El Lu, right
up
towards
across the line there, weren't they? Jason Coyle has been a big supporter of Jess Taylor, and we're going to speak to Jess a little bit later on during the course of the program. But I was looking at the performance of Gold Symphony, Ray, carrying a little bit of my money, and just couldn't get a start.
Just couldn't get a clear crack at them. Disappointing, though. So
very disappointing.
Overnight, big news this. How will it impact the Everest? Caravaggio went into the July Cup at Newmarket with protecting his unbeaten record, his first attempt against the older horses, his final lead up to the Everest, Caravaggio favourite. Bubble bursts.
In the centre, Harry Angel, the near side chased along, Intelligence Cross, Intersob driven, Tazleet, Moore is at work now, asking Caravaggio to lengthen. Lamato is also being delivered, gets a reminder from Harry Bentley as they run towards the furlong. It is Harry Angel there with Lamato now challenging the Tin Man with it all to do. Caravaggio trying to come stand side. Harry Angel, though, leads Lamato and Intelligence Cross. Brando flashing home. It's Harry Angel that wins the July Cup for Adam Kirby and Clive Cox. From Lamato, Brando, Caravaggio couldn't get there in company.
So if we have a look at the market for the Everest now, Chautauqua 460, Caravaggio drifted a little to 650, She Will Reign $8, English Russian Revolution, $11. And Winks is in the market. Forget about it. Chris Waller said, not going to happen. Going for the three WS Cox plates. So there you go. Race three plates. We've got to fly. We've got Adrian Bott and Alicia Bennett coming up after this break on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Great staff are always the most important element of business. Nova Employment is a free disability employment service that takes the time to find you the right candidate.
I'm Ross Newcomb from Newcomb & Co Chartered Accountants. In 2013, we employed Charles to be part of our admin team. His dedication makes him an asset to our business and clients. We recommend other employers focus on ability.
So if your business could benefit from great staff with ability, join the over 15,000 Sydney businesses who have made the switch. Visit novaemployment.com.au.
Live and exclusive to Sky Racing.
Aiming to create one of the largest research groups ever with 50,000 Australians, Cancer Council has launched the Australian Breakthrough Cancer Study.
If you've not had cancer, other than non-melanoma skin cancer, researchers want to hear from you.
Guys, if you're aged between 40 and 74, sign up today at abcstudy.com.au. It's easy to do and can be done from home in your own time.
So come on, help yourself, your family and future generations in the fight against cancer. abcstudy.com.au.
It's English and Fell Swoop fighting it out. Chautauqua very late. It's English a half length in front. Can he do it? Chautauqua, he's flying. Yes, there's history. Chautauqua makes it three in a row. That is unbelievable.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Funny the response you elicit from some of the listeners, isn't it, when you ask for the best sports person to come here and they say, Lance Armstrong, best international drug cheat to visit our shores. That's from Steve. And then you get this one, and I'm not really sure I understand it, from Manly Man Al. Jimmy, Ray sets his alarm to get up for puffed Wheaties, then work follows that. I don't understand it, other than that is a factually correct statement.
It is, 100%.
Yeah. What time was the alarm this morning?
You know exactly what time it was.
Go on.
4:46.
4:46.
Yeah. It worries you, doesn't it?
No, it doesn't worry me.
What were you eating before?
That's chia pudding. Chia porridge.
Oh, really?
Yeah, is it all right? Very healthy. Yeah, okay. Superfood.
More healthy than puff wheat?
Would have thought so.
I wonder what Adrian Bott thinks of this conversation. We mentioned earlier the Siege of Quebec calculated clash. It was really terrific. Midwinter, he's a class colt. Siege of Quebec came out on top. Adrian, good morning. Congratulations, firstly, on the win of Siege of Quebec. And you were quite effusive with your praise afterwards. I think both your colt and Calculator are definitely horses of the future.
Yeah, good morning, Ray. Good morning, Jimmy. Thanks very much. Yeah, no, it was delighted to come out on top of that battle. Of course, it was certainly an intriguing one going to the race. Had a huge amount of respect for Chris Waller's horse, Calculator, and certainly on the opinions of him going into the race. So delighted we were able to come out on top. Of course, we've certainly always thought a lot of our colt. And I guess it was just good to see him able to sort of confirm those opinions yesterday.
Yeah, and that's the thing, isn't it, Adrian? You can look at it in a yearling sale and, you know, Fastnet Rock and pay $1.2 million for it, but you don't know what the fighting qualities are like, except when you get to a stage like yesterday when headed in the straight and then fight back for the win. That must be pleasing.
Yeah, no, it really was, you know. Particularly at the top of the straight there, he looked under a fair bit of pressure. And look, in fairness, it's just the horse really trying to put it all together, work it all out. You know, it wasn't until he sort of spotted the other horse and, you know, I think Calculator even got a, you know, head in front of him at one point that he's, you know, sort of really knuckled down to the task. And as you said, they're the qualities that are difficult to identify at the sales themselves. But, you know, it's so important in such a horse, these good horses, the quality horses and the quality colts, they don't always make it pretty, but they just find a way of winning. I think that's particularly what this colt's done. He's just found the will to win on each occasion.
Now, I was thinking too, Adrian, the last 3 or 4 weeks, geez, Tullock Lodge has produced some really promising young horses, rising 3-year-olds, obviously Siege of Quebec, I'm thinking Hualalai as well, a rising 4-year-old mare in Long Time Ago, other horses like Piping Hot, horses that aren't necessarily overly exposed, but obviously have a lot of potential. It's an exciting period for Tullock Lodge.
Yeah, it really is. You know, over the last sort of 12 months, we've said on a few occasions we've been a relatively young stable.
Rebuilding.
Yeah, and I think that's a good phrase to use. And we've got a lot of young horses sort of coming through the stable that can, you know, very progressive types. As you said, all those horses you've identified are all quality horses. There's a lot of wins left in store for them, and I think we'll be able to see those continue to go through their grades and fly the flag for the stable. And a horse like Supply and Demand's just been a great advocate for us. You know, he's been an absolute amazing horse to have in the stable. You know, I wish we were able to have a few more of him, but he's been a you know, great success story for us over the winter. And,
he's been amazing.
Know, I hope it continues.
he's been amazing, hasn't he? A month ago, we all thought he wouldn't get beyond a mile. Now he's won a Caloundra Cup. He backed up on the Grafton Cup last Thursday. Mm. What are the plans going forward now with Supply and Demand, Adrian?
Look, we haven't set any firm plans for him yet. We just wanted to get him back from Grafton, give him a real quiet weekend and just really see how he responded. I think that run in particular will have taken more out of it than any other run this preparation. You know, it was a... He was right up in the weights, and he was forced to carry that weight a lot more up on in the Caloundra Cup. They probably had an easier time in front. He was able to sort of, you know, he was jogging along, sort of made a bit more of a sit and sprint. Whereas the Grafton Cup was a genuine run race, and he was forced to, you know, carry that extra weight. So he really toughed that out. So that. That run will no doubt take more out of him, but you know, we'll just monitor, see how he is, and look at the calendar going forward. Obviously, very mindful of how long he's been up for and what he's done this campaign. But you know, on the other hand, he's a horse that's just thriving on his racing and continues to improve.
Adrian, and you've got to answer this one honestly, okay?
Ready for the bouncer, Adrian?
Yeah, I'm worried here.
Does the Siege of Quebec, a $1.2 million colt, is that treated any differently than a $150,000 yearling in the stable? Are you more patient with it? Does it get more puffed wheats than the other horses?
No, look, they're not treated any differently. But you certainly, you know, you do know the price tag that's there, and it certainly adds another level of pressure, I guess, when producing these horses at the races themselves. But in terms of their, you know, their treatment throughout the stable, no, look, they go through the same. Yeah, go through the same system and processes that any other horse and yearling would, and you know, they're given every opportunity, as is every horse, and the quality horses sort of select themselves and take that next step.
Mm. And just quickly, English $11 chance in the Everest. How is she tracking? And I don't know whether you heard there, Caravaggio, little disappointing overnight.
No, I yet to see those results overseas, but look, really happy with English. Looks still obviously very early days, but she's a mare that sort of comes to hand very quickly. You know, really excited by the mare that came back in this time. I think the Kellys have been very vocal in how well she's come back and how well she's spelled, and we've certainly seen that this time in physically stronger mare that's returned this time in. So if that's anything to go by, I think we're in for a great preparation.
Yeah, fantastic. Looking forward to that. Well done on yesterday. Exciting times with Siege of Quebec, and appreciate you coming on the program this morning, Adrian.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Adrian.
There is Adrian Bott training in partnership with Gay Waterhouse. A really good two-year-old colt that they've got, Siege of Quebec. Good win yesterday.
Promising young talent coming through, you know. In that
Who's
stable.
That, Adrian?
Yeah.
Or Siege of Quebec?
That as well, yeah. But as I mentioned earlier, those other horses like Hua Lalai, who we spoke about a couple of weeks ago, very promising. Look, I tell you what, I reckon Alicia Bennett has woken up feeling on top of the world this morning.
Why not?
First city winner yesterday. Tremendous to see with Buddy Honest in the Tab Highway. Alicia, good morning, and I guess there's a spring in the step with you today.
Oh, I don't think I've stopped smiling yet.
Fantastic. Hey, Alicia, last week, I know it's easy to say in hindsight, but I thought this horse put the writing on the wall. 1,200-metre highway at Warwick Farm, I mentioned to Jimmy earlier. He went out very, very hard, had about a 4 or 5 length gap mid-race on his rivals, hung on to run a very good fourth, beaten less than a length, back to 1,100 metres yesterday. They just couldn't catch him, Alicia.
No, his sprint is unreal. It was just getting him to harness it for a little while is his problem. He just gets that little bit too keen, and he's such a big, strong horse. And yeah, yesterday he just did everything right and Rach wrote him a treat. Mm-hmm. And I was so shocked, actually, to see that he blew out as much as he did in the prize.
Mm-hmm. And sounds like you might have had a bit of go at that, Alicia.
I hope you did.
I'll take that double laugh as a yes. well, just by the sounds of that, then, there's a lot of upside to this horse, Alicia, when he does get his race manners.
Yeah, I think so. He's definitely going to be a handy little horse. I don't think he's a superstar, but he just tries so hard. And when he came back from the 1200 at Warwick Farm, he gave it his all. Like, he was spent. He tried his little heart out. It's just taken him a long time to work it all out.
Mm. What did you see in the couple of days after that run last week that made you think the quick backup was on the cards?
On the Sunday, we were out, as you do, doing your job, because you have time on a Sunday.
Yes.
And I looked over at the paddock, and here he is, running around, flat gallop, bucking, rearing, jumping up in the corners at the other horses, and I thought, this horse, it's like he never even went yesterday. So, you're right, you can go again next week. So I just looked after him all week. He spent 3 days out in the paddock and I didn't touch him and started to trot him up, and that's all he did. Aaron Bullock jumped on him on Wednesday afternoon, gave him a trot. He goes, at least he doesn't feel any different to any other time you've raced him. So,
Worth a crack. Hey, Alicia, congratulations with that decision to back up. And I don't know if Jimmy is aware, but what does this win mean for you, Alicia? Because I know you also, you combine training with a daytime job as well.
Yeah. I've had lots of messages from people at work. Mm. But, it's a big boost. And we're only a small little team, and it's basically my family.
Yeah.
We all dig in together. We all get things done. I'm so spoiled to have such great people around me, and we all work really, really hard. And it's just a tick to say we can do it.
Mm. So, what's the day job, Alicia?
I'm an accountant.
Wow, no wonder your training horses get some fun in your life, right?
Not a tax return accountant.
Oh, right. Okay. And hello to all our tax return accountants that we have
Look
listening
after
to
them.
The exactly. Alicia, it's absolutely fantastic. You'll know where to go to get your horse next time when it has a win at Rosehill Gardens.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm looking at the numbers going 2, 3, 4. Where's one?
Oh, you can get used to it now, Alicia, after that. It was fantastic to see. Congratulations with Buddy Honest. And who's to say there's not another Tab Highway in him?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. He'll go out for a bit of a break now and we'll bring him back in and see where we go. But, yeah, that would be definitely something that we'd aim for, try and get in another highway.
Yeah, fantastic. Well done, Alicia. And thanks very much for joining us this morning.
Oh, thank you so much for talking to me.
Thanks, Alicia.
There she is, Alicia Bennett. Great story, great win there. Wonder what Buddy Honest will be doing in the paddock this morning. Might go around again next week. He's jumping around everywhere. Well done, Alicia Bennett. Just about coming up to news time now, but for the first time we say good morning to Tanya with the scratchings around
good
New
morning.
South Wales. Morning,
good,
Tan.
Good morning, everyone. Looking at racing today, Hawkesbury and Grafton. We'll start with Hawkesbury, where the weather is fine, the track a good 4, the rail is out 3 metres from the 1300 to the winning post. True the remainder, penetrometer 4.87 and 12 scratchings. Race 1, take out number 3, D'Argento, number 3. Race 2, number 1, Adjective, and 8, Brockton Punch, 1 and 8. To race 3, take out 2, Oz Picasso, 3, Delacroix, 6, Vindex, and 8, Flying DJ, 2, 3, 6, and 8. Race 4, number 6, Swift Express, and 7, Easy Mover, 6 and 7. Race 5, number 6, Nationality, and 10, Miss Fortuitous, 6 and 10. Out of race 6, number 7, Concotta, number 7 out of race 6, and races 7 and 8 are clear. Grafton, the weather is fine, the track a soft 6, rail true, and 13 scratchings. Race 1, number 6, Solitary March, 11, Middlebrook Miss, 13, Bravo Uncle Billy, and 16, Nature Train. Take out 6, 11, 13, and 16. Race 2, number 3, Ramatuel, number 3. Race 3 is clear. Out of race 4, number 6, She's Extraordinary, number 6. Race 5, take out 15, Lothbrok, 16, Rocking Horse, and 17, Snappy, 15, 16, and 17. Out of race 6, number 2, Red Bowers, number 2. And race 7, take out 1, Subsolar, 5, Thermal Unit, and 15, Destiny's General. 1, 5, and 15 out of race 7 at Grafton.
For tips today, guys, in the first race, probably a no-bet race, but watch this race. It's a bit like the Siege of Quebec, calculated clash.
Oh, yeah.
One first starter, a horse called Marble from the Godolphin camp, trialling sensationally, and number 6, Songlike. 6 and 4 in the first. Writing down your black books, their horses to follow. Very promising. Race 2, number 3, Phuket, the best at Hawkesbury. And then over to Grafton, race 5, number 1, I Too Can Dance.
Just the two today. Okay, I Too Can Dance, currently quoted at $1.70. Thanks very much for that one, Raymond.
It's a bit short.
Yeah. Phuket is $4.60. Thanks very much. That's race 2 at Hawkesbury today. The fine record continues to Ray Thomas in that regard as well. Stick around. We've got more coming up after the news, including Peter Peters.
I'm Kim Cartwright. Queensland's Liberal National Party State Convention will consider formally calling on the federal government to back out of the Paris Climate Accord. Delegates are expected to debate the controversial resolution at the final day of the meeting in Brisbane today after previously endorsing a motion to urge a future LNP state government to support the coal industry. A successful vote would put pressure on Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull to follow US President Donald Trump's lead and withdraw from the Global Pact, a move which is supported by some of his backbench. Doctors are falling asleep at their computers and having to give up toilet breaks in order to manage shifts that can be as long as 76 hours. A new audit has found that more than half of doctors in Australia's public hospitals are working unsafe hours, placing them at high risk of fatigue. Intensive care physicians and surgeons are the most stretched, according to the Australian Medical Association report. One doctor reported working an unbroken 76-hour shift alongside others who endured shifts of between 53 and 72 hours. Overseas, and thousands of people have marched through the streets of Hong Kong following the burial at sea of the Chinese Nobel Peace Prize winner Liao Xiaobo. The silent crowd walked to show their support for Liao, who died Thursday while serving an 11-year prison sentence for speaking out against the Chinese government and calling for political change.
A video released by the authorities shows a white urn being lowered into the ocean. Petals were thrown in afterwards. The government is keen to show it's treated Liao Xiaobo well, even though it imprisoned him. At a press conference following the burial, the Nobel laureate's eldest brother said the funeral arrangements had been carried out in accordance with the family's wishes. But another Chinese dissident said the sea burial was organised because the government wanted nowhere to remember Liao Xiaobo on Chinese soil.
The US military has confirmed that the head of an Islamic State affiliate has been killed in a drone strike. Abu Sayyid was the emir of ISIS-K and was killed at the group's headquarters in Afghanistan. Here's Daniel Wrenches.
Abu Sayyid was the emir of the group known as the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, Khorasan Province, referring to territory in Pakistan and Afghanistan. The US military says Sayyid and other militants were killed in a drone strike on the group's headquarters in the Afghan province of Kunar on July the 11th. Sayed became the leader of the affiliate group after two predecessors were killed by US and Afghan forces in April this year and July of last year. They're seeking to prevent the group from developing a strong foothold in Afghanistan. Daniel Wrench's Air News, Washington.
Briefly, three people have died and at least five others injured after a fire consumed three floors of a 36-storey apartment tower in Honolulu. Back home, two autistic teenage brothers have gone missing in Victoria, with one boy disappearing more than 5 days ago. Harrison Street, aged 16, has been missing since July 10. His brother Bryce, 15, was last seen on July 13 in Sunbury, 60 kilometres from Melbourne. Both teenagers require medication and there are concerns for their welfare. It's believed the pair may be together. Also in news, three men have been stabbed at a bar in Sydney South after another man who was evicted from the premises allegedly returned with a knife. This is Air News. Titans halfback Ash Taylor has orchestrated a 30-10 victory over defending NRL premiers Cronulla, mastering atrociously wet conditions on the Gold Coast. Heavy rain fell all afternoon on the Gold Coast and continued as the game began, creating large puddles that made conventional rugby league near impossible. But Taylor rose above it, grubbering with composure for Conrad Hurrell to score in the ninth minute. The Sharks looked to respond but were twice held up over the line and denied for a third time as players splashed for a loose ball between the uprights. Adelaide have reclaimed top spot on the AFL ladder with a bruising 46-point win over Melbourne in Darwin. The Crows led at every break and survived a late Demons comeback to post a 17-14, 116 to 10-10-70 win. Tom Lynch was outstanding in his return game, booting three goals and gathering 27 disposals just over a fortnight since being in intensive care with viral meningitis. Star midfielder Rory Sloane was knocked out when his head slammed into the turf in a fair but heavy tackle from Melbourne's Dean Kent late in the third quarter. The Western Force's bid for Super Rugby survival has received a massive boost, with billionaire mining magnate Andrew Forrest pledging he will do whatever he can to ensure the Perth-based franchise isn't axed. Forrest was front and centre as he addressed the Force player group on the field after last night's 40-11 demolition of the Waratahs. Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you'll have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Cabernet Sauvignon. By De Bortoli, of course. Here's the traffic.
Freedom slashed prices on overstocked bestsellers, selected homewares and heaps of floor stock while stocks last. Freedom's $40 million clearance. They clean out, you clean up. Conditions apply. In Revesby, we've got changed traffic conditions due to an earlier accident. Westbound on the M5 at the River Road, the shoulder of the road has been closed. In Lilyfield, also changed traffic conditions on CityLink Road, CityLink at Northern Street due to an earlier accident, one westbound lane closed. And delays heading to the airport, it's heavy on Marsh Street, Airport Drive, West Botany Street and the M5 East. At Baby Bunting, save 15 to 20% off car seats, prams, high chairs, cots and nursery furniture. Some exclusions apply. This weekend only, Baby Bunting, Australia's largest one-stop baby shop. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Got this covered. Sydney, mostly sunny, light winds. Talk about shortcuts this morning at the BOM.
Producer Jeremy did say to shorten up our weather report.
They were listening.
Oh, okay. Finally,
someone that listens to producer Jeremy. mostly sunny, maximum of 17 degrees. Now, what about down south to Eden and Edgecliff?
Edgecliff first, Jimmy. Currently, its temperature is 9 degrees, heading for a lovely sunny day in Edgecliff. Down at Eden, cool start to the day, just 2 degrees, warming up to 14.
Oh.
The world's greatest fortnight of tennis is now on, and you won't want to miss a game, set or match this Wimbledon with our great odds and offers. Tab, we love a bet. Gamble responsibly.
Lano, is that a new painting on your wall?
It's a TV, Mum.
Wow.
Mum, it's the signature LG 4K wallpaper. They're the thinnest TVs on the planet.
Amazing.
So's the picture quality.
Who set it up?
I did.
Lano.
Okay, Bingley's delivery and installation people did.
I thought so.
And right now, you'll get a free wall mount installation and delivery when you buy any LG 4K ultra high def TV, 55 inches and above, at Bingley.
That's a great deal.
From the home of TV, Bingley.
Enter your rising two-year-olds now in the Select English Ready to Race sale at Oaklands Melbourne. There's no passing commission and entries close Friday, August 4. Details and entry forms, see English.com.au.
Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Big hour coming up, Raymond. Zorba very shortly. Jess Taylor, a winner yesterday in Sydney. Phil Moss with all the latest news from that Arsenal tour, which has gripped the city over the last few days. We'll have the ZNZ quiz as well. Score update.
15-12.
I love the way you didn't say, is it 15-12, which you pretend to do every morning when you know you've got the score taped to your steering wheel.
Gee, you are.
Dean Bulldog Ritchie. Speculation he's going to be dropped from the New South Wales lineup, Dean Ritchie.
End of an era, Dean.
Changes are afoot, Dean. But anyway, we move forward. Our sporting topic today, courtesy of listener Ferg from the Riff. by the way, we sent him out some Sony Music CDs because of his great contributions, was international sports people that have visited this country. Mm. Sparty on Twitter says, can't split Sachin or Brian Lara. Good call.
Mm. And here's an SMS, no name. Kelly Slater, best surfer in history. The West Indies cricket team of the late 80s, they were phenomenal.
Yeah.
Farlap, he was a Kiwi originally, fair enough. Mm. Best ever internationals to hit our shores.
That's come from Sick Des.
Oh, Sick Des.
Okay. Sick Des. Sorry, Des. PS, love the CDs you sent a few weeks back. No worries. This one comes from Andrew on Twitter as well. If you want to send us a tweet, at Big Sports WEND, at Big Sports WEND. From Motorsport, Ayrton Senna. As a young kid, I was amazed how he drove through the streets of Adelaide. From Brazil, I say from another planet. That's from Andrew. Good one.
Yeah, no.
What a star. Check out that documentary too, Senna, if you haven't seen it.
And a couple of people have mentioned the great Jack Nicklaus. Phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. How many Australian Opens did he win? That's when it was the fifth major?
Yeah. And played at the Australian.
Played at the Australian, was it? There you go. 13:53:53. Keep those nominations coming in. Time now to have a chat with Zorba. Everyone wants to talk about State of Origin, but we are getting back into the NRL proper too as we get the run to the semi-finals. Some interesting results over the course of this round thus far. Let's see how Zorb saw it. Morning, Zorb.
Morning, boys.
Morning, Pete.
Let's go Origin first.
I apologise for breaking my about a 10-year cycle where I wouldn't tip the Blues, but I was convinced this time they could do it. How stupid of me. Too many scrums. I should have known better, even though Queensland had four of their stars on the sideline. Much too good for New South Wales. I agree with Joey Johns. We just don't get it.
Well, what's got to change then?
Oh, we've got to pick players in the positions that they're best in. I mean, we had three fullbacks in that side. Pick the best fullback. The other two have to miss out. I can't see Dugan as a centre. I don't like him as a centre. I think he's a fullback. I don't like Jared Hayne in the centre. I think he's a fullback. And Tedesco's a fullback. So pick the best one. I mean, we need players that can make a difference in our back line. I mean, imagine James Roberts and Dylan Walker. Like, they're players that can beat their opposition with dancing feet and speed. We have none of that. Plan B.
What about in the forwards, Zorb?
I was disappointed in Fifita. I see there's some controversy now where Clemmer was told he was starting and then Laurie Daly changed his mind. That didn't go down well with some of the players on the side. Clemmer has just said, yep, he was told he was starting and then he was told he wasn't. Fifita, I think, you know, didn't go down well. He didn't play anywhere near like he played in that first game, and a lot of people saying, well, the referees didn't allow, you know, that area in the ruck to allow players to show their skills. Well, you know, you've got to play what's in front of you, and you've got to adapt. I think I can't blame the referees for what happened on Wednesday night.
No way.
But I can ask this question, and I think rugby league needs an answer. We all need an answer. Why is Matt Checken, who I think we all agree is the number one ref in the game.
Yep. I'll agree with that.
I mean, our refs aren't that good that the number one referee can be rested from the NRL 2 weeks in a row. Why was he rested last week? We asked that question. And now he's not appearing in any of the five games this weekend.
Ridiculous.
I mean, there have been some terrible decisions again in games so far. The sin binning of that that young Panthers back rower.
Softest ever. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. Terrible, and in that period of time, the Warriors scored two tries.
Yep.
Unfortunately for them, young Cleary stepped up. Johns, this is what the Warriors are like. In the 61st minute, Sean Johnson was taken off with a knee injury, which I understand may keep him out for the season. If that is the case, I think they'll go on anyway, but it'll be bye-bye Warriors again.
Yep.
But he went off in the 61st minute, and they led 22-18, the Warriors. Then, bang, 68th minute, Cleary try and goal. 73rd minute, Cleary try and goal again. They suddenly led 30-22, and then Wonga Blake scored a try to make it 34-22, and the Warriors again, like a prick balloon, caved in the last 20 minutes of an important game that they simply had to win to keep this season alive.
Zorba, I don't think Kieran Foran's going to be the panacea that Canterbury think he is.
He's struggling a bit, isn't
he?
He's struggling a bit. I don't think he's fit. I don't think he was fit when he played against Manly over in Perth a couple of weeks ago. And, look, he plays a tough at-the-line game from 5'8", and he just may struggle a little bit at the Bulldogs.
The rain last night and the Gold Coast. We had Sharknado a couple of years ago, but that was just incredible. You seen anything like it?
Well, it's a long time since I've seen rain like that, and I've got to say, that is the best ground surface in the NRL.
It dried up in the second half.
It's only played on about 10, 12 times a year, and it's perfect. It's as good as you can get. But that water just lay around last night in the first half. Amazingly, drained away well in the second half. But what about the skill of the players, and particularly last night from the Titans, to put 30 points on the Premiers in those conditions? I take my hat off to them, and particularly to Ash Taylor, who started the game poorly but ended it brilliantly and was just a star. Mm. But also the student football. Jimmy, imagine. Oh. I remember playing with the old leather balls, and once they got heavy, it was like picking up a boulder. But you couldn't have kicked it anywhere. And I thought last night just showed how far we've come in that area with grounds, and I shudder to think of what Lotto Land would have been like with that rain. But anyway, full marks to the Titans. They've kept their season alive. Big question mark on how the Sharks went, but I suppose it's a leftover from Origin. They had a record number in it, but they were never in that game last night, 8-0 at half time, and then it was 30-0 before they scored two late tries to put put something into the scoreboard that they could look at.
And especially an old goal kicker like you, Zorb.
Couldn't have got him off the ground there last night. Could not have got anything off the ground.
Just on the Sharks, Zorb, no need to press the panic button, but that was a comprehensive defeat last night. They were beaten all over the park, weren't they?
Yeah, they were, but the new season starts now. And we've always said, get through Origin, then another competition starts, and they'll be right in it. They've got too many pros in their side not to. They missed Maloney last night. They're going to think long and hard about whether or not they allow him to chase some big money elsewhere and go for Cooper Cronk. But without him last night, they looked a little bit rudderless. I don't know if that long-term contract for Andrew Shafita is going to work out either. They've certainly got a few question marks with Jack Bird leaving. Mm. Incidentally, on Jack Bird, I don't know about you guys. I love what our television stations do in their coverage of sport. But I think, and I think that there's some people at Channel 9 right now that are lucky that the late, great Kerry Packer is not alive, because he loved his rugby league, loved his cricket, loved his sport, and he never stopped looking at it. And if they come up with a stupid idea, he was the first one to trample all over them. And I reckon there would have been some trampling this week, despite record ratings, and congratulations to them and the game for that this week. Most watched program in Australia, over 3.2 million, I think. But what
3.7.
Was it? Yep, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
What on earth is the intensity meter? Give me a break. If a player's not intense when he's playing State of Origin, he shouldn't be putting boots on. Jack Bird came on, and he was on the field for 5 minutes, and suddenly there he is at the
leading
top
the intensity
of the
meter.
Intensity meter. For God's sake, give us a break. Whoever introduced that, hang your head in shame. You obviously don't know much about rugby league. We don't care about who is intense. And what it means, I don't know. Mm. The selection of matches too by Channel 9, guess what? Next 2 weeks, not the next 2 weeks coming up, the feature match on the Sunday on Channel 9, they get first choice, don't forget. And second choice, I think, West Tigers are on. How on earth a side down there, and have a look at the opposition games that are on the Sunday, which should be on at prime time free to air. I think Manly Melbourne is one, and Roosters Melbourne is another, wow. I think. But it's just crazy. I don't know who's doing it there, but it's not working.
I'll tell you what, I disagree totally with you about the intensity tracker. I found that fascinating because
what does it mean, Jim? Explain it to me.
I'll tell you what it means. It means the amount of metres that they're covering per minute.
Oh.
No, and this is the new way. There's
so many variables come into play, though.
Of course there are.
But you can tell. The ball goes your way. It's silly. It's
right, but you can find out who's working or not. They use it in live time. You'd know this, Zorba. The teams use it now in real time to get numbers, so when your middle forwards get tired and their intensity, call it whatever you like, their intensity, their metres per minute drop off, get them off the field. It's a stat that has been given to viewers to help them better understand why things are happening on the field. That's a positive. It may not be presented in the right way now, but
I don't agree.
It's adding to the...
We've gone too far with statistics, and now we're finding out how fast players run. That's nice enough to know if they're making a break and they're carrying the football and they run a fair distance to score a try. That's interesting.
Yeah.
But intensity, Jack Bird on for 5 minutes and he tops it. I can't cop that.
Yeah, I've got to agree with you.
It's ridiculous. How can he? Surely his intensity is going to be higher than a front rower that's been playing for 15 or 20 minutes.
And that's
obviously
the key, isn't
Jack
it, Bird's
going to be higher than him. That's just common sense. People don't need to have that shoved down their throat. I don't believe it's of any use at all.
I'm with Zorb, Jim.
It's only the start. Get used to it. Zorb. Now, this one. Why don't we hear every week from the NRL, whether they're head of football, Brian Canavan, or Tony Archer, the head of the referees? I was doing an intra-super premiership game yesterday. The dummy half, Joey Lussick, threw the ball into a player who was lying in the ruck, and the referee said, play on. Now, earlier this year you did that, you got an immediate penalty. When was that changed? When were people alerted to the fact that it was changed? And why don't you tell us every week what's going on with the referees / the NRL?
Yeah, and last week we saw penalties from it.
When did it change?
There's a lot of things happening at the moment with the referees that we are all dumbfounded about. I mean, I still can't. Is Matt Checken injured?
Well, I totally agree. I'll disagree with you on the stats, on the intensity meter, but I totally agree with you. Where is Matt Checken?
Exactly.
Oh, can we find him? Is he okay?
13:53:53 if you've spotted Matt Checken in the last 7 days.
Well, there's one that gets up my goat too. Zorb, is the Josh Papali shoulder charge on Josh Dugan.
Good
changed
point.
The game
Good
for
point.
The Dragons on Friday night. The offending team doesn't get any real penalty out, apart from the penalty given to the St. George team. St. George lose Dugan for the match.
They'll lose Papali.
Papali's
for a few
gone
weeks.
For two, but he stays on the stays on the ground. St. George already lost Packer with a groin injury. They're down to 15 fit players.
Totally agree.
And we see a player like Hawira Nira.
Softest
to the sin bin.
Softest
for and all it was Isaac Luke
Conn,
the young referee.
Took a dive.
And
silly.
10 minutes. What a vital time to be off the game. I mean, imagine if they'd have lost that game. Full marks for Penrith too. I thought, you know, with their captain out of the game, that young kid
Cleary,
in the number 7. I think he really grew, and I think he showed that he can steer the side around. I think he'd been inhibited a little bit, but he took control and he got that young. Young 5'8 in his first game, Tyrone May threw it well, and I thought he was just brilliant. And he was up against Sean Johnson on Sean Johnson's home track, and he finished up well.
Yeah.
The other poor kid's out of the game, but interesting now. I think Penrith will grab a top 8 spot. They've got a good draw
coming in,
and I don't know who's going to drop out. I don't think Parra will. Parra's got a pretty good run, I think. The Dragons are maybe showing, well, I think they've won 3 out of their last 10, and they could be in a little bit of trouble. Just a quick wrap to Trent Hodkinson from coming back from 5 games in the Intrust Cup. I thought that he played really well last night. Newcastle led for the 8th time this year. They've won 1 game out of those 8 after leading
second
at
half
time.
Yep, Zappa.
The Zappers this week, and I apologise for last week, tipping New South Wales.
13 plus.
Since I do it again. Yep.
Yeah.
It'll be a long time since I'm embarrassed. Okay, today, two interesting games, Rabbitohs and Cowboys up in Cairns. What's the start for the Rabbitohs?
4.5. It's -4.5 for North Queensland.
Okay, I'm going to go for the Rabbitohs. I think that they can rise up there, and I'm not in love with the Cowboys without Thurston.
Okay.
I'm going to go for the Rabbitohs there and Manly to cover the start against the West Tigers at Lotto Land.
15.5.
Pardon?
15.5.
Yep. Golden Eagles day today.
Oh, yeah.
Some great old players. I know Graham Eadie's going to be there, Maxi Krillich, Matty Ballon. Michael Robertson, Alan Thompson, Mark Carroll, Cliffy Lyons. There's about 150 of them coming to coming to Lotto Land today.
How good. Fantastic day. I'm sure the West Tigers fans will give Matty Ballon a big cheer, given the fact
I'm sure they will. Not as big a cheer as the Seagulls, where he won two comps. All he won at West Tigers was a coal.
Good on you, Zorb. We'll speak next week.
See you, Pete.
See you, boys.
There he is, Peter Peters. Give us your thoughts if you want to agree, disagree with Zorber on any of those things. 1353-53.
Your business premises really needs a fresh fit out, but the bank says no.
You need to move fast, but they still say no.
You haven't got time for paperwork, so they keep saying no.
Turn the no's around and get on with it with OnDeck. Apply online in 10 minutes with just 3 bank statements, not the deed to your house, and you're on your way with the cash flow you need. Visit ondeck.com.au.
OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. Loan subject to lender approval. OnDeck partners with MYOB.
All covers, all grounds, all beaten. Franco won the Champion Stakes and lived up to the fight.
International racing at its very best. 7 days a week across the Sky Racing Network.
For the best price and range on a new Mazda, go and see the man. What man, you may ask? James Smith.
The man from Mazda.
Penrith Mazda, with 300 new cars in stock, over 5 acres.
Wrong. 6 acres.
Exclusively revealed on this show about a month ago. And Penrith Mazda's BT50 Ute Centre has over 50 utes on display. Let them package you a great deal. Grab a coffee and a bite to eat in the Cafe Zoom while your car is serviced. See the Mazda experts today. Penrith Mazda 2016 Mazda Master Dealer. Hot favourites make it back-to-back
in
2017.
That's it, certainly.
They're family-owned and operated. Mulgoa Road, Penrith, MD18808.
Werther is right up to the task, and he sweeps to the lead, getting past Blazing Speed, deeper out Eagle Way, then Gold Mount Elaine Charisma inside the furlong. Werther bloke clear from Blazing Speed, then Eagle Way, but Werther, the horse of the year, is roaring away with the champions and Chater from Blazing Speed and Eagle Way. How sweet it is, Werther!
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Jockey Jess Taylor, very shortly, before we get to that, got to let people know that we are giving away a prize today for the best contribution. Remember, our talk topic is, well, we want to talk State of Origin as well, but our talk topic is around best international visitors on the back of Arsenal coming to Australia and having a couple of wins against Sydney FC and the Western Sydney Wanderers. Who are the best international sports people to come to Australia? 2 tickets to Event Cinemas at Parramatta. It's the VMAX experience. And just word filtering through, right?
<Okay. laughs> What's he done now?
Prakash
has
and
become
the team out there. Yeah, look.
Is it something that's gone global?
It's cinemas equivalent to the Ballon d'Or. So he's the best manager of a cinema.
Does Prakash get embarrassed when you talk to him?
Not at all. Loves it. Yeah, clip him up this stuff and he sends it, plays it in the middle of the ads up there at Event Cinemas at Parramatta. Yeah, so the Event the cinema manager's equivalent of the Ballon d'Or. So best manager in the world. Prakash, congratulations. Yeah. I mean, it was big news, right?
It was outstanding. You were in a commission with that?
Yeah,
no,
I'm not.
Outstanding, yeah. What was outstanding was Jess Taylor yesterday, and great to see that smile after the race. Her first stakes win on Slightly Sweet in the Winter Stakes. Jess has been good enough to join us this morning. And Jess, good morning, and have you come down from cloud nine yet?
No, I don't think so. Definitely. I think I'll be on that cloud for a good week now at least.
Terrific. And it was a blanket finish. And you said that last 100 metres, you just rode the horse out as hard as you could to the line. But her form's been great going into the Winter Stakes, and she deserved a good race like this.
Yeah, she did. You know, she's sort of been out of form for a while. Last prep, she sort of didn't have much luck or anything. So this prep, she sort of seemed to turn a corner, and she hasn't been beaten far the last couple of starts. So the last one was really good when she came third. So just coming into the race, she was well and she's feeling well and she felt great on the day. She obviously put her best foot forward.
And you know the horse really well too. I think the Dark Jewel was the first time you were on up there at Scone, and now ridden her a few times subsequent to that. And the support you get from not only the other trainers, but especially Jason Coyle, it's really working for you and the horse.
Jason's fantastic. Obviously, last year I played with a couple of injuries, and each time he was one of the trainers to sort of put me back on and give me a go again, you know. He's been really supportive, and I really appreciate that.
Jason Stables had a fantastic run over probably the last 3 or 4 months, but particularly into the winter months, and he's a trainer in the zone. That must give a rider confidence knowing his horses are fit, they're well, and they're racing in great form.
Yeah, absolutely. As you say, he's been on a great run lately, and yeah, it's great to ride for a stable when they're on that high. And as you say, Jason always turns his horse out well. Mm. He's a really good trainer to ride for. He doesn't tie you down with too many instructions, so he's sort of, you know, as long as his horses are comfortable and hitting the line, he's generally pretty happy. So, no, it gives you confidence, that, you know, when he's got the confidence in him.
Now, rides today, I think you've got the one up there at Hawkesbury. What can you tell us about Base Camp?
He's he's been a big supporter of mine, so I'm really happy to be on him today. He won at the end of last prep, and then he went out. He's had a bit of a break. I'm not sure if he went out for a spell, but he had a bit of a break from racing, and he's been back. His last run was pretty good. He just needed a bit of the fitness. He had to do a bit of work about, like, leading sort of just one off the fence. So today he's got that fitness under his belt. He's drawn a good gate. I'm sure he'll be up in the first couple, and I think he should run really well today.
Yeah, Jess, I was just interested, where do you ride money track work, and how many days a week do you ride? Because you're also booked to ride at Maroo on Monday, so you're keeping yourself very busy.
Yeah. I ride at Warwick Farm a couple of times, and I go down to September and I try to get back to Port every fortnight as well.
Right.
So, yeah, I try to sort of spread myself around and funny. They have been really good.
Mm-hmm. Have you got a scrapbook, Jess?
I do, actually, yeah.
Have you seen today's paper? I don't know whether you've seen the lift out, Sunday
picture.
Punter from the Sunday Telegraph. We haven't quite made the front page of that, but you're one page in, and it's
picture.
An outstanding photo. You've got to get
Simon
it in the
Bullard's
scrapbook.
Taken that pic.
Oh, that's awesome. No, my old boss, Mark de Montfort, he sent me a message with a photo of it and said I'd made the paper. So, I saw that this morning. It was great. That's fantastic. I'm stoked.
Fantastic.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. Congratulations, Jess. Great stuff. Great photo. Great ride.
Great ride.
Yeah, great win, more to the point. I guess you're more concerned about the ride than the photo, aren't you?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and good luck today, too. And really appreciate your time, Jess.
Thanks so much, guys. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Jess.
There she is, Jess Taylor. A win yesterday at Rosehill Gardens. And one ride today in the market, too, at $11
base camp,
there.
Scotty Smith.
Base camp. So one to look out for at Hawkesbury. 1353-53 is the open line number. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more, including Phil Moss, who I'm sure will be joining us here in the studio.
Start your Greyhound racing week. 10 a.m. Mondays on Going Greyhounds with Stuart Turner. Then through the week, get the tab market movers along with interviews with crucial players. If it's Greyhounds, we've got it. Here on Sky Sports Radio.
The world's greatest fortnight of tennis is now on, and you won't want to miss a game, set or match this Wimbledon with our great odds and offers. Tab, we love a bet. Gamble responsibly.
Mum, do you hear that beeping sound?
You left the fridge door open again.
Close. It's the sound of Bingley trucks loading new Westinghouse, Hitachi and Beko fridges ready for free delivery.
I'm free unpacking. We'll take away the packaging too.
And we'll take away your old fridge free.
It's a great deal.
Buy any new Hitachi, Beko or Westinghouse fridge from Bingley and get free full service delivery.
You know when that beeping will stop, Lionel?
Yes, very soon, so be quick. See in store or bingley.com.au for details.
All covered, all grounds, all beaten. Franco won the Champions Stakes and lived up to the fight.
International racing at its very best. 7 days a week across the Sky Racing Network.
Joyce with the outswinger.
Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
And welcome back to the show. I reckon Phil Moss would have been in heaven the last couple of days. Sydney FC v Arsenal Thursday night. Wanderers v Arsenal last night. Phil, good morning, and Well, can I ask you what you made, firstly, of both those games, and in particular, the massive crowds?
Hey, morning, Jimmy. Basking in the afterglow of 160,000 people walking through the gate today, and had over 48 hours to watch their beloved Gunners and Sydney FC and Western Sydney. It's been a hugely successful week for the round ball game with the Gunners' visit. And, look, I think what really has won the public over, apart from the fact that they're very well supported worldwide, is their professionalism on and off the pitch. They've been absolutely phenomenal. Arsene Wenger, the coaching staff, all the players, with the time that they've given to various projects, coaching clinics, press conferences, official functions, and obviously the fans that turned out to the games has been second to none. And to be honest, as a Liverpool, diehard Liverpool fan, I think they've actually shown Liverpool up for their lack of interest in engaging in the community when they were out here back in May.
I think it's a lesson for all professional sports in this country. Some of them don't need a lesson, others do, and that is, you know, they bought the front page of the Telegraph yesterday. Who knows what that would have cost? But you know, it's you know, they've been around for 100 years.
Yep.
It's looking at not what we get out of this game or the next game. It's about what do we get in 20 years' time from the Australian market. And I think they've shown. So when next time someone says, "Oh, why are the NRL taking a game to Singapore? Or why are they taking it to Perth?" Please understand and look at Arsenal 101, how to do it right.
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy. I couldn't agree more, mate. And look, I think that there should be something put in place as well. When these teams come out here, I mean, Liverpool took away, I don't know the figures for the Arsenal tour, but Liverpool, I know, took away $13 million from that one-off game. And I can't believe for the life of me that FFA, I believe, get you know, a small slice of that. But I can't believe for the life of me that they don't have to invest something back into our youth development and the development of our game here. I mean, $1 million out of a $13 million kitty is not a lot in context. And I think that could do a lot more for our game than simply put a game on at ANZ Stadium against an A-League team and, you know, everyone walks away happy for that. There's got to be a lasting legacy from these visits, and I think that would be a good place to start.
Yeah, great point, Phil. Hey, Phil, what did Arsenal's management and players make of the standard of Sydney FC and Arsenal and the Wanderers?
Yeah, look, it was interesting. Firstly, let me just repeat a comment I heard from one of the Arsenal coaching staff. It wasn't Wenger himself. It was one of the backroom staff. But talking to them after the game, they believe they've got one of the best squads they've had in years. You only have to look at the depth that they've got over the two games and their performances so early in pre-season. They only had one or two training sessions leading into both games, and obviously Arsene flipped his squad like we thought he would for both games, and some phenomenal talent there. The usual suspects, I thought, stood out in Ozil, Walcott, Welbeck, but a real surprise pack for me was Reece Nelson, the number 61, who played against us on the right-hand side on Thursday night. A lightning quick, good player. Lacazette will settle those two games, will help him a lot, of course. And Nacho Monreal, who set up both first-half goals last night, I thought was outstanding as well. But it was interesting. Wenger, pretty much his summation of the two Sydney teams was with us on Thursday night. He said we were defensively well-structured and intelligent. With Western Sydney, they were very physical. And I think you can pretty much put that down to the fact that Western Sydney Wanderers have been training for 3 to 4 weeks. We had 5 sessions. We were back in training for 1 week before that game after a six-week holiday. So, you know, that's a pretty fair summation, I think, of the way the two games went. I thought both Sydney teams, you know, did the best that they could under the circumstances. And I thought they stamped Australian football and the progression that we've made over the years.
Well, if you want to have a look at the markets, this might be a tip here. Arsenal, of the big six, Arsenal at the bottom of betting for the English Premier League futures. Man City, $2.85. Man United, $4. Chelsea, $4.25. Tottenham, $8. Liverpool, $11. Arsenal, $12. And then it drops off to Everton at $67. But so there you go. Arsenal are very confident of the season ahead, and they're at $12, sixth in the line of betting. What about some A-League signings? Melbourne City active in the market?
They are, Jimmy. Jacopo La Roca has signed for Melbourne City from Adelaide. He's now, this will be his third club. He was with Western Sydney Wanderers and then Adelaide, and he won the the championship with Adelaide a couple of seasons ago, two Premier's plates and an ACL title with Western Sydney Wanderers, and the Melbourne City manager, Warren Joyce, has come out and said, I've attracted him to this club because of his winning mentality. He can play as a centre-back, he can play as a holding midfielder, but certainly where he goes, he seems to win silverware, so that's a big signing for Melbourne City.
Mm. Update on Mitchell Duke too, Phil?
Yeah, Ray, this is a good one. Duke is a boy that I worked with up at the Mariners, and he got his chance to go to Japan with Shimizu S-Pulse. Suffered relegation in his first season there, suffered an ACL not long after that, so was out for 8 or 9 months. But he's come back very, very strong, and he's been putting back-to-back performances together for Shimizu. They're back in J1 now. They got promoted last season, and he's starting to make some noises for a return to the Socceroos. He's played a handful of Socceroos games but hasn't been in the fold for a few years now. But with the big qualifier coming up for the Socceroos in Japan, against Japan, in Saitama, he's certainly putting his name forward for Ange Postecoglou to look at, because he obviously understands the Japanese so well as well.
And what's the beautiful Jose up to?
You're a good mate, Jimmy, eh?
Yes.
He's left the door ajar for Ibra.
Please.
Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Please come back.
Come back.
Please come back. At 35, going 36.
Oh, mate, he scores goals.
I know, he's a
goal
scoring machine, I know. Yeah.
Look, he won't be back until December physically because of his ACL, ruptured ACL ligament. But there's interest, obviously, to get him over to the MLS. LA Galaxy have said that they'd be interested in someone of his stature. But Jose's done the right thing, I think. Like, Zlatan scored some goals for Manchester United last season. He scored some big goals for them. He was a big presence, and it's only right to say, look, if he comes back fit and proves his fitness, then we may be interested. Now, whether that's a bit of a smokescreen for the supporters or not, time will tell. But certainly you can't just fob off a player of Zlatan's stature in the game and what he produced on the field for Manchester United last season.
Absolutely.
Phil, where are you? It sounds like you're on the phone and not actually in the studio.
You knew it was coming, Phil, didn't you?
Jimmy, I'm in the news studio. It's about 5 metres down the hallway from you.
He's got an upgrade.
Please.
He's got an upgrade, yeah.
Right. Yeah, remember the
times on Sydney FC duties this morning, unfortunately, mate. But
remember the times when Phil Mostey used to come into the studios, Ray?
He's obviously a busy man. He does his best. He's always there, though. He's always available for us.
Ray sent me a text just before we went on air saying, thanks for taking time out of your busy day to at least talk to us on the phone.
It's just a different way to look at things, isn't it, Phil?
Glass half full, half empty.
Exactly right. Good on you, mate. Appreciate that. We'll
Good
speak next week.
See you, Phil.
Have a great day. Cheers.
You too, mate.
There he is, Phil Moss. Apparently doing stuff with Sydney FC. Who'd have thought? Apparently he's got a job outside of here.
You're
anyway,
hard, man.
There you go.
Got some callers.
We better go to them. Yeah. Fair enough. But that's interesting. Arsenal think they're
$12. $11 Liverpool.
Yeah. $4 John, Man United. Yeah, goes Zlatan.
John's on the line. Good morning, John.
Good morning, fellas.
How can we help you, John?
My nomination would be Archie Moore.
Archie Moore, the boxer.
Beat our own, I think he beat Ron Richards in the 30s.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Light heavyweight champion in the 40s. Fought Marziano for the heavyweight title in the 50s. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And fought Muhammad Ali in the 60s.
Jeez, are you serious? Did he fight Ali too, did
I
he?
Thought he's a five-time world champ, I think, yeah. Archie Moore.
He was a great boxer. And did he fight Ali, did he, John?
He did.
Wow.
Prior to...
He must have been pushing 40-plus then.
He's about well into his 40s.
Yeah.
He used to eat like four chickens or something, didn't he?
I reckon there's a CD going John's way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great
Stay
nomination.
John. Right. Well done. Yes, John.
I've got a question for you, mate.
Yes, mate.
When's Royal Gem going to make his debut into the Hall of Fame?
Royal Gem, the horse that beat Boonborough in the Caulfield
Cup. The horse
Cup.
Won a Caulfield Guineas, a Newmarket Handicap, a Caulfield Cup,
beat
23 Boonborough. Other races.
Yeah, beat Boonborough in that famous Caulfield Cup. He's been nominated, I will say that, John, so I can't...
Can you kick up for him, mate?
I'll do my best.
Thank you.
Good on you, mate.
Great call.
Stay on the line, mate. CD coming your way.
Archie Moore was nicknamed the Mongoose. Mm. He had one of the longest professional careers in the history of the sport. Ended up actually training Muhammad Ali, George Foreman and James Tillis.
He would have been very old Ali's time, but anyway.
There you go. Mm. Hello, Shane.
Yeah, good morning, Jimmy, Ray.
Good morning, Shane.
just quickly, I might be mistaken, but you might know, Ray. I was only about 14, 15 at the time, but I remember watching a game of football, New York Cosmos versus Australia at the old Sydney Showground.
Did Pelé come down?
Pelé and I think Franz Beckenbauer.
Wow. Yep.
They were both in the same team. There were other great players in that team at the time. They were the best of the best.
Yep. I think he's right. I can sort of vaguely remember. I think.
I was at the game and it was a big crowd. It was the first time a super team come out.
And you think Pelé and Beckenbauer are in the team?
Yeah, I think they were in the one team.
Wow, that's hard to beat.
And I remember when I was little, after the 1970 World Cup, because Tommy Anderson wrote a story.
Great Tommy Anderson.
The old Tommy Anderson was writing about football, and straight after the World Cup in 1970, when Brazil's super team won the World Cup in 1970, Sir Bobby Charlton had a coaching clinic out here straight after the World Cup, before they went back to England. And I was in the paper. I still got the original photograph when I was 4 or 5 years old down at Birrong Park. And Sir Bobby Charlton ran the clinic back in 1970.
We had a couple of people SMS about Bobby Charlton as well. So
yeah, we have. Great yeah, Bobby we have. Charlton. Yeah. Good on you, Shane. Appreciate
good call,
that. Keep
Shane.
The nominations coming in. Remember, double pass to give away to VMAX Cinemas, courtesy of Event Cinemas at Parramatta. Here's a couple of SMS that have come in. Jimmy and Ray, best international sportsmen to come to Australia. Cricket, Gary Sobers and Viv Richards. Athletics, Usain Bolt. Soccer, Pelé. Santos played Australia at the Sydney Sports Ground on the 17th of June, 1972.
I'm that's just calling it up then. From it Tom Santos.
State of origin, composed, class and focus, the bluster and blunder. It's that simple from the chalk jockey. Hard to argue. Speaking of bluster and blunder, Dean Ritchie up next.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Ricebury.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
Caribbean Blaster. He blew his rivals apart in his Victoria Cup win. A current track record holder. A winner of the Chariots of Fire. 4-year-old Breeders' Crown and SA Cup. Trainer Andy Gatt says he was the perfect racehorse. Get the facts. Ask someone who has a Blaster. They have perfect gait and constitution. Perfect conformation and 100% toughness. Caribbean Blaster, standing at Yirrabee Stud in New South Wales. Visit yirrabee.com.au.
Your business can secure some extra stock at a great price, but the banks say no.
You want it in time for a peak sales period, yet they still say no.
You need funds before the deal disappears, but they keep saying no.
Turn the no's around and get on with it with OnDeck. Apply online in 10 minutes with just 3 bank statements, not the deed to your house. And you're on your way with the cash flow you need. Visit ondeck.com.au.
OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. Loan subject to lender approval. OnDeck partners with MYOB.
Everyone knows a festival is only as good as its lineup, and this year, Volksfest 2017 boasts incredible deals across a wide range of Volkswagen models, like the new Amarok Core 4x4, tougher than ever, and yours from only $40,990 drive away, including impressive features like Diff Lock, App Connect, and rear view camera. Don't miss out on this season of great deals during Volksfest 2017. Conditions at Volkswagen.com.au.
ZNZ Jewellers have been a Hurstville institution for over a quarter of a century. For more than 20 years, Raymond, they've been the source of official NRL watches, rings, pendants and cufflinks.
Correct.
So, if you want the official watch of your team, which one would you get?
I'd have to go dead heat and get both.
Like one of those half things?
No, I'd just get two watches.
Oh, that's a better idea. So, if you want the official watch of your team, or, you know, the ones you've seen, the jerseys.
The jerseys.
It's a great point, Ray.
Who asked Mossy to come back? Fair dinkum. Oh, is he in? Is he? Is he in? No, he's come out of the little booth that's 5 metres down the road.
He was here. He was here on time. That was the main thing.
Or if your business needs corporate gift as distinction. If you're looking for an engagement or a wedding ring, or if you want jewellery remodelled or repaired, if you're heading overseas and maybe one of you buy your missus something nice for the trip,
Raymond.
Yeah, keep
you're
going.
Away for 3 or 4 weeks, you and Tanya. see Alan at ZNZ Westfield Hurstville or visit ZNZ.com.au. That's ZEDNZED.com.au. Proud sponsors of the St. George Junior Referees.
Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Welcome back to the program. By the way, if you want to be a part of the quiz, score update, Ray?
15-12.
Your favourite. 9 straight for you. Call now on 1353-53. You can win one of those ZNZ watches in the team colours of your choice. If you've got two teams, just ask for one and then try and win it again next time rather than try and get that.
They couldn't ask for two.
The half face sort of thing. time now to speak to Dean Bulldog Ritchie. There's a fair bit of hand wringing and soul searching going on around the New South Wales team. I wonder whether Dean still associates himself with it. And that headline that came out on the Thursday after game one. Proclaiming a new era had dawned for State of Origin. Was there any date on that, Dean, as to when that new era would actually start? Good morning.
2026.
No, it can't go on that long.
It's really funny, Jimmy. Look, I think we've all got to be excited after game one, and rightly so. Look, it was a dominant performance, and we probably as I said, I'd been very excited about what the future held. But looking hindsight now, I mean, I think we're all under this sort of weird illusion that once the Big Four or Five moved, that it would be a road to our dynasty, where we probably didn't take into account the fact that, you know, they've got some fine young players coming through too. And at the moment, you know, their young players are probably better than ours. Guys like, you know, Maguire and Holmes and Munster, they're all coming through, Gagai. So, look, you know, the fact that the big Four or Five will move on in the next year or two doesn't guarantee us now the fact that, you know, we will suddenly be dominant and dominant for many years.
Absolutely, yeah. Munster in particular was awesome on debut. Hey, Dino, what's your take on, well, firstly, the coaching position at the Blues, and will Laurie Day stay on for next year?
Look, Ray, I honestly don't know. I'm not trying to be evasive here. Yeah. I just don't know. Sometimes you speak to Laurie, he may drop a little hint that he wants to stay, but other times he may think he wants to go. Certainly, there are some people in power that want him to stay. Dave Trodden is one, as is George Paponis. They think Laurie is the best man for the job moving forward. It's just a matter of everyone at the moment. I think, Ray, just taking a deep breath. Let's let the dust settle. Let's have a full review of the whole series, how it worked, training-wise, game-wise, accommodation-wise. Sit down rationally and work out whether and how we do move forward. Whether they go for an NRL coach as well. Now, I personally don't think that can work. I think the rigours and demands of an NRL coach are far too great. Even these days, you'll speak to coaches, there's not enough hours in the day to prepare their club side, let alone trying to actually run a State of Origin camp as well.
If not Laurie, who?
Well, it's a good question, Jimmy, and that's part of the equation, I guess. I mean, the name is being thrown up, of course, Gus Gould. I don't think Gus is doing it. I think his time's probably come and gone. There's Craig Fitzgibbon, Brad Fittler, Andrew Johns. I mean, Joey's got a great football brain, but whether Joey would want or need the pressure of State of Origin is another question. So there's certainly no standout, I guess you could say, candidate. I thought Brad Fittler was quite humble when asked the day. He said, look, you know, it's Laurie's job at the moment, and he didn't want to jump in straight away. So, look, at the moment, you know, Fitzgibbon would fit the bill in many ways. He hasn't coached NRL and has only done Sydney Country, but he's certainly a coach on the rise, and there's no doubt at some point Craig Fitzgibbon will coach at NFL club.
Hey, Dino, player movements?
Yeah, it's funny, Ray. About 6 or 7 weeks ago, I would have thought Cooper Cronk was going to retire. Now, I'm not so sure. Just a bit of mail around the Oregon camp that, look, you know, he may now move on to play again next season. Canberra's another club that was mentioned on social during the week, as was the Sharks. He wants to go around, and he said quite clearly, and play Origin next year again. So that would indicate that he does want to play on for one more year. So maybe Cooper Cronk will be back for another tilt at the NRL and Origin next year. Ash Taylor, brilliant game last night, guys. This guy is a future superstar, if not already. He's off contract after next year, but already I can tell you that the Broncos are circling, as are the North Queensland Cowboys. And I think Ash Taylor will demand some fairly hefty coin when he does come on to the open market. And Brett Morris, too, guys, officially retired from rep football after the game. 18 test matches, 14 for New South Wales. A real champion player, yeah, and a champion bloke. And he's played his last game for the Blues.
Didn't let anyone down in the series. Didn't let anyone down.
Never does.
If he'd accepted a pass from Jared Hayne, it might be a very different story. Mm. However, we will never know that. Cooper Cronk, I think if Canterbury were to buy him, they'd have to shed a number of players.
Oh, no doubt. And they're still trying to shed now, Jimmy, to squeeze Foran and Woods in. So, look, it is unlikely. Not that they wouldn't want him, but that would mean having to shed another two or three. That'd almost take the total of four or five players. And a lot of these people have contracts still, so they're just hoping that they do get picked up elsewhere. But if they don't, it makes it very, very difficult. Mm. Just to make a point, too, on what Zorba said before about the West Tigers games on Sunday for the next 2 weeks, I actually delved into that a week or so ago. And to be fair to Channel 9, they get the first two choices. That's generally the two Friday night games. And then Fox get picks 3 and 4, which go into Super Saturday. Mm-hmm. So the Sunday game that Zorba refers to, he's right what he says, but that is pick number 5 for the weekend. So you look at it that way.
They go Thursday, Friday.
Correct.
Channel 9 go Thursday and Friday. And very shortly, Channel 9 will be doing Saturday games. For the last five rounds of the year, they'll do a Saturday game as well.
Okay. There's also turnarounds involved in these decisions as well. You've got to look who they've played recently, who they play the following week, whether it's a five-day turnaround. So it's not quite as simplistic as just picking the best game. Suddenly, you just have to take in a lot of issues into the equation before naming the side. I certainly see where Zorb's coming from, but there are some reasons why it's happened that way, and they're all fairly rational reasons.
Do you know the Tigers, speaking of them, taking on the Seagulls this afternoon? Any changes to either side?
No, at this point, Ray, they all look sweet. Jake Trbojevic will play for Manly, and for West Tigers, you'll find that I think Tedesco and Woods will back up there. That's the 2 o'clock game. Up there in Cairns, that's the 4 o'clock game. It's the Bunnies versus the Cowboys. Braden Burns is coming onto the wing to Aaron Gray. He's out injured. Angus Crichton, a good young player. He's got a break, a bone in his foot, so he'll have to be managed for the rest of the season, but he will play on. There was some suggestion that Damien Cook would be rested for this game. That would mean Robbie Farrer playing the 80 minutes, but that's not confirmed just yet. Mm-hmm. As for the Cowboys guys, Cooper, Hess and Morgan, they will all back up for North Queensland.
If Damien Cook is rested for this game, he must have missed training or been late to
Something's happened. There's
no other way to explain it. Good on you, Dino. We've got a fly, mate. We've got the quiz coming up. Good luck next year in the Origin if you're retained.
Gee, you're solid, aren't you? You're under pressure.
See you, Dino.
They lost it, Dean, didn't they? Yeah, nothing from Dean there, of course, yeah. He wants to make sure he's up there at the King's Cliff next year, if indeed they go that way. 1353-53, call now. We've had a contestant drop out for the quiz. So you're 2, Ray, and Rodney's on the line there. So if you want to be a part of the quiz, call now. You go with Rodney on 2.
Okay. Yeah, Rodney, good morning.
Good morning, Ray.
Okay, Rodney, here we go. Question number 1, best of luck. Who missed the most tackles for New South Wales in State of Origin Game 3? Was it James Maloney, Mitchell Pearce, or Boyd Cordner?
Boyd Cordner.
James Maloney, yeah. Okay, question number 2, Rodney. Who led Queensland in line breaks in State of Origin Game 3? Was it Billy Slater, Valentine Holmes, or Cameron Munster?
Cameron Munster.
I like Cameron Munster too. Yeah, it was Billy Slater.
Did you watch The Origin, Rodney?
Yes, I did.
I would have gone Cameron Munster there too, but Billy Slater apparently, Rodney. So this could be a rort in return, returning serve on us here.
Good.
Question number 3, Rodney, here we go. Which country will host next year's FAI F3J World Championship for model gliders?
Oh, yeah.
Switzerland, Slovakia, or Romania? Seriously. The model gliders, FAI F3J World Championships. Switzerland, Slovakia, or Romania, Rodney?
Slovakia.
Oh, it's Romania. That's a tough one. Massive chance.
Irony if you got that one right and got all the origin ones wrong.
Doors wide open here, James.
Absolutely. Ando.
Yeah.
Let's go, my friend. Question 1. Lead me out of the wilderness. Who led Queensland in tackles made in State of Origin Game 3? Was it Cam Smith, Gavin Cooper, or Matt Gillett?
Cameron Smith.
Yeah, I would have said that too, but it was Gavin Cooper. Question two, who ran for the most metres for New South Wales in State of Origin Game 3? Was it James Tedesco, David Clemmer, or Jake Trebojevic?
Clemmer.
I would have said the same too. It was James Tedesco. Here we go. Question three. Ando, what are you doing, Jimmy?
The pressure.
Which country will host next year's third FAI Women's World Hot Air Balloon Championships? Is it Poland, Austria, or Hungary?
Austria.
Oh, no.
You are kidding me, Ando. All right, quick, let's get to the... Here's the tiebreaker. What was the ODI batting average of Carl Gray Rackerman, between 2 and 3? Ando?
Yeah.
Ando?
2.7.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Stick around.
Hey, Rodney, are you there?
Yep.
We're on life support, Rodney, but we got a chance. What was the ODI batting average of Carl Rackerman? Is between 2 and 3 runs.
What did Ando reply?
No, come on, mate. Keep listening.
All right, 2.10.
2.10. You little beauty. Oh, what controversy. Wow-wee.
Down
the Ando,
wire.
What's your team?
Dragons.
Good
Dragons.
On you, Ando. That's okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't admit that publicly either, Ando.
Right,
fair enough.
Yeah.
Stay on the line. We won't tell anyone your address or anything.
The
we won't identify.
Broken.
Here we go. What a way to go.